702. Change your mindset.
Stanley Beckett, author and consultant at Change Creator SA, joins me now. Brother Stan, good evening to you. Are you well, my brother?
Good evening, Aubrey, to you and all the listeners. And I'm getting better. I'm kind of like you. I've been sick for a while now, and it's like that kind of thing that just doesn't seem to go away. But I'm definitely getting better, and I'm glad to hear you're also better, although I know you're not 100% yet, but good to have you back.
Absolutely, absolutely. Getting better all the time, Stanley. Quantum physics. One of the things you're saying is that you cannot build wealth if you do not understand the building materials of wealth. And then you suggest we need to look to quantum physics. What are you talking about, man?
Yeah, you know, before we get into quantum physics, and I'm excited about this, and I'll tell you why, because as you'll see tonight, for the first time, really, science is starting to catch up to spirituality in many of the things that we've been saying, and our religious texts have been trying to say to us and get us to understand for thousands of years. Science is starting to catch up, and it's actually quite an exciting time to be alive. And I thought about this, and we've got our group that gets together every week and discusses these things, and this was a really big topic for us to discuss, is to understand exactly the question you asked. What does quantum physics have to do with building wealth? And what we're about to discover tonight, it actually has everything to do with building wealth. And we're going to get into that now, but I'll tell you why this is such an important topic, Aubrey, is if you remember, there's a saying we share quite often on this show that comes from the book, The Science of Getting Rich. And I wonder how many times we say it and how many times people actually think how important that one single statement is, the significance of that statement. And if we don't understand the full significance of that statement, we are keeping ourselves away from the wealth that's our right. That every single person listening to the show tonight has the right to be wealthy. But if we don't understand this, we don't understand that we are actually keeping this wealth away from ourselves. And we want to blame and we want to point finger because we don't understand. And I'm hoping that tonight we can come to a deeper understanding. And I'm going to warn that a lot of the things we're going to say might not intellectually make sense at first. But I think if you just listen to it and you just think about it deep down, I believe something is going to stir in people and that there's going to be a truth that they can't quite put their finger on yet.
Yeah.
But a definite truth in what we're saying. And the saying that comes from The Science of Getting Rich that I really want to start off with again is that saying that Wallace Wattles said. He said, if you remember it, Aubrey, becoming wealthy is not the result of doing certain things. It's the result of doing things in a certain way. Okay, and I'm going to say that again. Becoming wealthy is not the result of doing certain things. And I can say amen to that. Because I can testify to my own life, Aubrey, of spending good well on 2 decades doing everything I was taught to do and still not experiencing the wealth I thought I should be experiencing. I was doing all the right things. You know, you can go and you can read your books and it says start a business this way and invest this way and all these things you can do. But the question is, why is it that two people can do the exact same things? Napoleon Hill asks this in Think and Grow Rich, and he talks about it. Why is it that two people can open a business in the exact same street, the exact same business, doing what seems on the outside like the exact same things, yet the one person becomes wealthy and the other person doesn't? And then you go to what Wallace Wattles said. He said it's not the result of doing certain things. It's a result of doing things in a certain way. And when we hear that, we have to start asking the question, what is the certain way? Surely that's what we should be looking for. I remember years ago I said to you that we're so busy looking at the finger that's pointing that we forget to look at what it's pointing at.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're looking and we're trying to get our head around, what can I do? What can I do today to bring wealth? How can I act different? How can I do things different? We're looking at the finger, but we're not looking at what it's pointing at. And what it's pointing at is a real truth that the truly wealthy people of this world, there's something different about them. They think different. They feel different. They act different. They all of those things they do, but there's something fundamentally deeper than that. And it has to do with what we spoke about 2 weeks ago, when you remember about the importance of developing a wealth consciousness. If you do not have a wealth consciousness, you will not develop wealth. It cannot happen. If you do make money and you don't have a wealth consciousness, all you're going to end up doing is losing all the money again. But a person who's got a wealth consciousness, they can have absolutely nothing. They can have no money in the bank, no evidence of money in the bank, but they feel wealthier than the person who has 10 million in the bank, because they know, I have something inside of me that attracts money and knows how to make money. And it's that we need to learn. We need to stop focusing on what do I need to do specifically. That only comes later on down the process. If you haven't developed this wealth consciousness inside of yourself, then no matter what you do, you're going to keep on struggling. And I'm sure there are many listeners on the show even tonight who will say amen to that. They've tried again and again and again to go for job after job, to try business after business, to do investment after investment. But they sit there saying, but nothing seems to ever work out for me. I never seem to get over that border. I know what that's like, because I am that person, until I've decided I have to change something fundamentally inside of me. And to understand what it is you need to change inside of yourself, I believe it's very difficult to understand if we don't understand the very basic principles of quantum physics. And that is why I'm bringing that as an introduction to our conversation.
Tell me, though, what does that saying from the science of getting rich? It's not what you do, but how you do it. And I'm paraphrasing. Just give it to me again.
So it's not the result of doing certain things. It's the result of doing things
in a
in a
certain way.
Certain way.
So how is that related to quantum physics?
Well, that's what we're going to get into now.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm gonna come back and answer that question. I'm not going to answer it directly because it won't make sense. It'll make more sense as we
Hey,
go.
let me invite call. 011-883-0702. Call me now. Call us now. Call me and Stanley right now. If that is shaking something in you, that idea that it's not the things that you do, but it's the things that you do in a certain way that determines your level of wealth, what the implications of that may be, the idea that perhaps it's not necessarily what you do, it's how you are doing what you are doing that needs to be understood and learned. Says Stanley Beckett. And we're going to talk a little bit about the quantum physics of it all. Really looking forward to that. But I'm really looking to find out from you, yeah? Have you thought about it that way? Have you thought about the fact that it's not just the slog, but it's the slog in a certain way? It's not just the hard work, but it's the smart work. It's a, eh? Give me a call. I'd love to hear from you on 011-883-0702 as I speak to Stanley Beckett. All right, Stanley, let's talk quantum physics.
All right. So what I also want to say, and why this is important, Aubrey, is because I believe if we can bring science and spirituality together in a bigger way, which I think we are doing in a way tonight, I'm hoping to increase the one thing that I believe is missing in many people that are poor and that are struggling financially, the belief. Okay, that's missing for many people. Many people say, I want to be wealthy. We talk about this often, right? But the truth is, how many people believe that it's actually ever possible for them? Remember, we speak about this often, the difference between faith and belief. Yes, we have the faith people can become wealthy. We must have the faith. The evidence is there. Just go and look. You'll find some people who have more money in their own bank account than what countries have
sure.
in their bank account. We know people, and we're actually one of those people came from our very shores, from Pretoria. Right?
Yeah, from Gazina, bro.
In the world. You know, I almost want to say to all South Africans, what is your excuse? The wealthiest person in the world came from Pretoria, right? Have you ever thought about that?
Yeah.
The wealthiest person in the world came from down the road.
Yeah.
If he could do it, why can't you? Why can't I? Why can't anybody else, right? What's missing for most people is not the ability. What's missing for people is the belief. the belief that I can do it. If you don't have the belief, Aubrey, you will not go find the how.
Okay. Right. Let's just break that down a little bit.
Yes.
Because I think it's an important thing. And I like the fact that you are raising the fact that we are trying a very, very a very, very ambitious thing, and that is the bringing together of the spiritual and the scientific. And good luck to us on that one. But the point I'm wanting to talk about is that faith is the general understanding that it is possible to be wealthy. Yeah. But believing is believing that it is possible for me to be wealthy. It is the singular personification, personalization of the phenomenon of faith. That is believing. It is the activation of faith. Believing is the activation of faith. In other words, if I've got a sachet of Eno, né, and I've got a bit of indigestion, until I put that sachet of Eno in some water, or the contents of the sachet into some water, so that the active ingredients of that Eno actually start to do their job and I actually drink it, it's all in potential, right? It's all just potential. What you're saying, Stanley, because I think this is critical, is that that believing is the activation of faith. It is the literal pouring of the Eno into the water so that we can see the effervescence and actually drink it to get away, get the indigestion of poverty away. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I'm saying that is the missing part for too many people.
Oh.
If even one person tonight listens to this, and something inside of them changes, and they firmly believe I can become wealthy, that person will change the whole rest of their lives. But the truth is that we might say we do, but most of us do not believe that wealth is ever possible or ever a future for ourselves. And until we believe it, it will not happen. And that is why I'm saying, if we have to bring some science into us, because we say these spiritual things. What do we say? I mean, think of our religious texts. What does it say, Aubrey? It says, even before you ask, it will be given to you. Mm. Do we believe that? We say it, but we don't believe it. We have the spiritual saying, and I remember growing up, my father was a minister in the church, and I would always hear, ask and it will be given to you. There's no limitation to that statement. It doesn't say ask and if you have done X, Y, or Z, it'll be given to you. It says ask and it'll be given. Knock, the door will be opened for you. Do we believe these things? These are the things we speak with our mouth every day, all the time in our churches, but we don't believe these things. And until you believe it, it's not going to be true for you. And I'm hoping that if we bring a bit of science, and I'm going to show you why science is saying the exact same thing. If you ask, it will be given to you. But until you believe it, it's not going to happen. And that is why I say belief is the one missing ingredient for probably all of us. And we need to start activating that belief, because the potential is there, but the belief is missing.
Bring the science in.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit. Let's start off with quantum physics. Okay, let's talk. What is quantum physics? So in the easiest way to explain it, because we don't have to go into detail. We're just going to learn the most basics, and then I'm going to teach you and share with the audience two or three, depending on the time, of the most important concepts of quantum physics that it has to our belief and to our reality. Is that the first thing, quantum physics, what it really is, it's the study of the building blocks of the universe. So, for example, if you think about it, your body, it's made up of organs, right? It's made up, those organs are made up of cells. Those cells, in turn, are made up of molecules. Those molecules, in turn, are made up of atoms, which in turn are made up of subatomic particles, such as electrons. I'm sure for most people, this is not something new. But if we go deeper into that and we ask, but what are even those things made up? This is when we're going into the world of the quantum physics. This is when we're going into the world of the absolute minute. And when you go into that world, everything changes. The rules completely change. In the last 100 to 150 years, our whole world, our understanding of the world has been turned completely upside down. You see, up until then, we were guided by old Newtonian physics. Newtonian physics is the physics of the large. It's the things we can see. It's the things we can experience with our senses. That is Newtonian physics, and we can understand that world because it behaves in very predictable ways.
Mm.
But what we never knew is what's building that world. And let's say it behaves in predictable ways because we can only sense it with our five senses, which is very limited. I mean, if you take a look at the whole spectrum of light, we don't even see 1% of what there is to see. Our eyes only see a very, very narrow slip of what there is to see. We cannot see the infrared spectrum. We cannot see the X-ray spectrum. We cannot see all the different spectrums and things. We just cannot see. We cannot, and the same way, we cannot experience such a large part of what life is actually about. But as we started creating more and more technology through science, and we started experimenting, we found out there was this world of the quantum.
Yeah.
And in this world of the quantum, everything changes. We understand the world is not at all what we think it is. So let me start with an example of one that really started the process. They started doing what they call the double slit experiments. So what would happen is they would shine a light onto an object that would have two slits on it. And up until this point, they believed that light was a particle, and a particle, a solid particle called a photon. And if you think of a photon, think of like having a bunch of marbles in your hand, and you've got this thing in front of you with two small slits. And as you roll these marbles, you can think some of the marbles are going to hit the thing and bounce back, but some of the marbles are going to go through the slit. And behind it, you've got this sheet that records as these marbles go through the slit, these double slits. So some of the marbles will go through the one side, others will go through the other side. But what you expect to see on the other side is this if the marbles hit the other side and they make a mark, is two solid marks where the marbles have gone through the two slits, because that is how a solid object would behave. But when they started doing this experiments, they found something completely different. They found that not only were these two solid marks, but they had all these different lines that were all the way across on the other side, as if these photons, these particles were just going in all different directions, but they knew this wasn't possible. We now know that those lines of light help us understand from the sun what are the different elements in the sun, because different elements have different patterns, almost like a barcode.
Mm.
And science was completely flabbergasted by this, because they were saying, but how is this possible that this solid object, this photon of light, is creating these patterns? And then we had this interesting, you can almost call it war of words and war of knowledge and war of experiments between very famous scientists back in the early 90s. The one was a scientist by the name of Niels Bohr. And what Niels Bohr suggested is that we are wrong about light, and that light is not a solid object. Light is actually a wave. And that if you understand how waves work, if two waves were going through the two slits, as they get through the slits, they would kind of combine with each other on the other side, and you'd have these higher levels and these lower levels, and this would cause these lines. And all the experiments actually showed that light was a wave.
Mm.
And this completely confused the scientific community, because it was obvious that light was a photon, right? Light was a solid object. But Niels Bohr was saying this is what was happening. And what they started finding out is that these light thing acted like a particle when the observer, the scientist, was expecting to see a particle. And it acted like a wave when the scientist was expecting to see a wave.
Mm.
So the first really big thing to, and this is a very simplified version, Aubrey, but I think that that's all we need for tonight. The very first thing that quantum physics showed is that this building blocks of the universe, the building blocks of everything we see, because everything is made from the substance,
yeah,
actually is subject to our will. So if I expect to see it in a certain way, I will see it in that way. It's almost like it can read my mind. If I expect to see it as a wave, I see a wave. If I expect to see it as a particle, I see a particle. So the very first thing that quantum physics is saying is that the world we experience is the way it is because that's what we expect to see. So we are creating, they call it a wave of possibility. Let's say this.
Slow down a little bit there. By the way, give us a call. 011-883-0702. Stanley Beckett, dropping some bombs here, folks. Yeah. So Stanley, are you suggesting that there is no objective reality, that everything is subjective? Are you suggesting to me that everything that we consider to be reality, and I know these are debates that have been held at the highest levels with philosophers and intellectuals over many, many, many millennia, but are you suggesting to me that all reality is nothing more than a subjective representation of our minds? And that there is no objective reality, in other words, a reality that is free of our interpretation thereof?
Not only am I suggesting it, science is suggesting it, Aubrey. Science is not only suggesting it, science has proved it over and over again in millions of experiments worldwide, and every single experiment proves and has not failed yet. That it went to such a, I want to get back to Niels Bohr. This is what they call, he said that everything exists not as a whole, it exists as a possibility. He called it a wave of possibility. So sitting in front of me at my table at the moment is a cup. Okay, let's go a little bit down that rabbit hole. This is what Niels Bohr was saying. This cup sitting in front of me is only sitting in front of me because of me, the observer, I'm observing the thing, and I'm expecting to see it there, and it's there. As soon, his statement was, as soon as I stop observing that cup, as soon as every single person on this planet, in this universe, stops observing that cup no longer exists on my table anymore. It exists as a possibility anywhere in the universe. It can be at anywhere, at any time, until you, the observer, decide to observe this. Now, I want to say, do you know who was in the biggest opposition to Niels Bohr? Was Albert Einstein. Albert Einstein spent the rest of his life trying to disprove this theory because he said it was a spooky science he couldn't understand. Niels Bohr said that the only reason the moon exists where it is because we as a collective, we focus on the moon all the time. If we stopped focusing on the moon, if we stopped believing the moon existed, the moon would suddenly exist only as a possibility anywhere in the universe. And what he's saying by this is he's saying that the reason we experience life as we do is because, number one, we, the observer, believe it to be so. And number two, we as a collective create the world that we see it. So let's take, for example, South Africa, if we had to take what Niels Bohr was saying. In other words, he's saying the reason there's so much crime and corruption in this country is because we as South Africans are creating it through our consciousness every day. We keep waking up, we keep talking about it, we keep focusing on it. And he says we are creating it. In his theory, we could create a completely different world and a completely different country is if as a collective, we all just decided we were not going to focus on this possibility anymore. We were going to focus on a totally different possibility. So that's why I said this is a spooky science. And even Einstein himself couldn't to the day he died believe in this. He said it just can't be that something only exists because I believe it exists. But yet all of science, all of the study in quantum physics proves that when you believe something, when you absolutely focus on something, you are actually creating that something that you're experiencing every single day.
Stanley, there's one. At some level, I sort of hear you. I hear it's one thing saying to me that which you focus on, you amplify, versus the reason why the moon is there is because we put it there with our attention. There is a quantum leap there that I'm sort of trying to get my head around. Are you saying to me that, and I mean, I've read with people such as Eckhart Tolle, for example, the author of A New Earth, saying that, understand that when you are looking at that chair is also looking at you. you know, ideas such as that. Are you saying to me that there is a relationship between the observer and the observed that is not static, that is constantly dynamic on the basis of the will of the observer? The question then, is the observed also exercising a will in that relationship?
Yes. So, Aubrey, again, I'm going to repeat what I said earlier on. I'm not saying tonight, please just see me as the messenger. I'm saying that all of quantum physics science is saying this. Okay. I'm just trying to simplify a very complex idea.
Yeah.
But to bring it to the attention, to say that everything we've been told so far through our religions, spirituality, and through all the teachers through the years that are trying to tell us is actually proven true by science, which is saying the reason you are where you are today is because you are unconsciously creating that reality again and again every single day. If you want to change, that's why I bring back the word belief. If you want to change your reality, let's say in this instance we're talking about becoming wealthy, and I'm not talking, you were right when you said earlier, I'm not talking about having a lot of money, I'm talking about being wealthy, right? If you want that to change, you have to change what you place your attention on.
Yeah.
And the intention that you place your attention on. And I'm suggesting that the majority of people in this country wake up every day and their attention is on poverty, their intention is on crime, their attention is on corruption, their attention is on everything that's wrong. And what science is saying is that until we can learn to change that, what we are doing collectively is we are keep on creating everything that's wrong. And you've got to find a way until the collective can change. Your responsibility is to find a way to break away from that mainstream believing and to start creating a different belief inside yourself. And if you cannot do that, then you are unfortunately going to be subject to experiencing the same things over and over again, no matter what you do on the outside. It's not the result of doing certain. It's a result of the way you're doing those things. When you are building that business with a wealth consciousness, it's completely different from what someone who's building a business with a poverty consciousness.
Matumbe on Twitter says, reality is dependent on the one that sees. What you see is only part of reality, but never the whole truth. A cup is also a bundle of atoms held together by certain energy forces. If you see the energy, you will not see the cup. Ooh, I feel like I'm watching an episode of The Matrix right now. 011-883-0702. Somebody said to me that The Matrix was not a movie. It was a documentary. And based on what you're saying to me right now, I'm beginning to feel like that might in fact be the case. So, I hear the conversation that we're having around the relationship that atoms and subatomic things have with each other, and the idea that we literally create reality with our attention, with our intention. Yeah. Now get these things together. Put them together for me. The spiritual and the scientific. I've heard both of them, and I hear you. Now put them together for me.
Okay. So what I'm saying is that both of them are saying exactly the same thing, right? Spirituality says, ask and it shall be given to you. But there's a part missing from there, right? Mm-hmm. Ask with faith and it will be given to you. Don't just ask. Mm-hmm. If my father always used to say to me,
ask believing and it shall be given.
Ask, believe in. Yeah. So my father would always say, you know, it would be an example. This little boy goes to church and he's got this big mount, like yield in front of his house, and he never gets sunlight in his room. And he hears the morning in the church where they say, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. So the little boy says, I am going to pray tonight. And he gets down on his knees and he prays and he asks God with all his might, please remove that mountain so that I can have sunlight tomorrow morning. And the next morning when the boy wakes up, he runs and he opens his curtains and there's the mountain still standing in front of him. And the first thing he says is, he says, I knew it would work. You see, that's asking without faith. How many people ask, but deep down, they don't believe it's going to happen? So in the same way, science is saying, what you focus on, what you want, you'll get, but you've got to use it with attention and intention. In other words, you've got to be on the vibration of absolutely believing that it's going to happen. The two are saying exactly the same thing. Mm. The only difference now is, on a scientific point, we can understand it better. So let me explain something else. We are all electromagnetic currents. Our body is an electromagnetic current, but how strong that current is up to you. The electrodes of the electromagnetic currents part comes from your mind. The more we put images in our head, in our mind, of what we want, that goes out almost like an electrical signal into the universe. And this has been measured. We can measure thoughts. Thoughts are things. We used to think a thought was nothing. A thought is a thing that can be measured. The power of a thought is a thing that can be measured. So we send out this electric signal out into the universe. But what do people do, Aubrey? What do people do? They sit and they maybe do a meditation for a half an hour in the morning. And in that half an hour, they sit and they think about what they want and they create these images and things. And then they spend the next 23 hours thinking about all the things they don't want, all the things that, all the negative things. And they're actually sending out that negative imagery 100 times more than the positive. And then they wonder, why doesn't it work? Then we get the magnetic part. Where does the magnetic part? It comes from your heart. It comes from your emotion. It comes from your feeling. The stronger that emotion is, the more magnetic that attraction is. So what happens is, when we send out a signal of what we want and we have total belief in it, we have total faith, it brings, like, you can feel it in your heart, like I know I'm going to get this. That is such a powerful force. But what we do is we do the opposite. We think of the thing we want and we send out this very negative image, like, I know I'm never going to get it. I don't believe I'm going to do this meditation. I'm going to do these affirmations. I'm going to put these things in my head. But in my heart, I don't believe it's ever going to work. And then it won't work. We've got to learn to get into a space where we can see what we want, build it in our mind. But at the same time, I'm coming back to the same word we started off tonight. If we do not believe with 100% faith, now we're starting to understand why the scriptures keep telling us this. If we do not believe it with that faith, it will not come to us. And unfortunately, what happens is that we wake up, most of us either wake up with negative thoughts all day long in our head about things we don't want, and then we wonder, when am I ever going to get the things I do want, but we never send that signal out. Or we wake up thinking about the things we want, but we never believe it's possible for us. So we never have the strength of making the thing a reality. And it's that attention and intention that science is saying is missing. So all possibilities exist. But if you are not creating the possibility you want with that level of attention and intention, you will not create it. There is not enough power to turn it into a physical thing.
It is making a lot of sense. I think that what's happening here is that we have been raised on a specific way of thinking about reality. And you're challenging that tonight, Stanley. I want to take a break. I know I've got some calls coming through on 011-883-0702. Quantum physics and spirituality together tonight. Stanley says that what you focus on is what you will manifest. He says that it is very similar to the same idea of ask, believing, and that which you ask for will be made available to you. That perhaps that those are some of the basic, fundamental principles that we first need to understand in our quest to break the cycle of poverty. that perhaps the cycle of poverty continues to live because of the fact that our minds, our lips, our thoughts, our efforts are constantly focused on that which we don't want. How many times have I asked our listeners, what do you want? And then they would struggle to tell me what they want. What do you want? No, I didn't ask you what you don't want. I know you're going to say to me, I don't want to be poor. Then what do you want? Oh, and the way that we've been raised immediately makes us think about how am I going to get what I want. And sometimes we sabotage ourselves by trying to understand how, when first you need to know what before we work out the how. Stanley Beckett. I need to take a break. When I come back, we'll take some of your calls on 011-883-0702. Would love to hear your thoughts as I have this conversation with Stanley Beckett.
702. Change your mindset.
Stanley Beckett is my guest. He's talking quantum physics. Stanley, somebody says, thank you so much for this quantum physics. I have my 15-year-old son listening. Fascinating, says this person. I wish you could give us a call. I'd love to hear what your 15-year-old son has to say. But somebody's asking, Stanley, for you to please once again explain the difference between rich and wealthy.
Okay, Aubrey, rich is having a lot of money. Okay, I think this is going to be the simplest. Rich is having a lot of money. Wealthy is the ability to keep making money even if you lose it again and again and again. If you're rich and you're not wealthy and you lose your money, the chances are you'll never make that money again. But if you are wealthy, and this is what wealthy people do, you can invest, you can lose all your money. Within a year, you've got it all back again. That's the difference between rich and wealthy. Rich is something that happens on the outside. Wealthy is something that happens on the inside. And I hope that helps with what's the difference.
So Spam Nkomonde says, listening to Stanley, I think from tomorrow onwards, I'll be rich and wealthy because I will attract it upon myself. Says Spam. This is what I want to say about what I think Spam was saying. He's either saying that, Stanley, you're talking a lot of BS. Yeah? Or, Stanley, you're telling me the truth, and as of tomorrow, I'm going to start a new chapter on my way to wealth. But whichever way he believes, it's true. Whatever his belief is in that statement, I'm suggesting that it's true. Whatever it is, Pam, that you believe, it's true. Whether it is said sarcastically or sincerely, whatever you believe is true. But we do need to ask this question, Stanley, right? This is either fantasy or it's true. Is there a time lapse? Is there a training process? Is there something that we need to learn in order for what you are suggesting to actually be a manifested truth?
So what I'll say, okay, let me start with the first one, and I love it because you actually said it for me, Aubrey, that both of those statements are true because both realities exist. The reality that what we're saying tonight being absolute rubbish and the reality that we're saying being the absolute truth. For you and for the listener that's saying this, either both of those realities exist. And it's there where they're going to pay their attention and their focus that is going to ultimately prove it one way or the other. I can't help you with that. But what I can say, is there something we can learn? Yes. I want to say this again, Aubrey, because I feel so passionately about this. We have a whole group that gets together every single week. It doesn't cost you a cent. I've been inviting people for years. Come and join our group and come and learn these lessons. What have you got to lose? All you've got to lose is all, what you've actually got to gain, and this is what you should be asking, is maybe an understanding of wealth that you've never had before. And it will change. I wasn't going to do this. I want to share something with you tonight, Aubrey, that I think hopefully will make people think. As a group, we've decided as a group to test what we are talking about. And we've set ourselves a target as a group that get together every week that we are going to create unexpected income. So in other words, we are going to test these principles we're talking about. And as a group, we are going to attract unexpected income. So in other words, money that's just going to start coming to us that we weren't expecting. It can't come from your job. It can't come from something you're expecting. We are going to apply these principles and see what we can together in 1 year. This is the first time I've done this in more than 10 years. We're going to see what we can attract. And we set a target of 1.5 million rand. We said, if we as a group of people can come together and we can create unexpected, out of the ether, out of nowhere, we don't know where it's going to come from, 1.5 million rand, will we start believing that this is possible? Aubrey, I want to share with you and your listeners tonight, we've only been doing this as a group for 7 weeks. We're almost at 500,000 rand already.
Oh, no.
Only 7 weeks as a group of people. And I want to invite people.
I want to come join the group.
Why don't you come and join the group?
I can't join the group. I can't come and join the group. I'm doing the show with you guys.
Listen, I've got to say this to you very quickly.
Spamu says to me, my tweet was very sincere, my brother. Thanks for bringing Stanley. We learn a lot.
Awesome. Thank you, Aubrey. And I'm really hoping that listeners that are sitting there tonight, that I'm believing, do yourself a favor, just come and join us. Just come and learn these things. My passion is to create a wealth consciousness in South Africans, to get South Africans to start believing. But here's the truth, Aubrey, belief does not come from knowledge. Change of belief comes from experience. You are going to have to join a group of people. That's the easiest way to do it, and experience it with a group. I wish you could see how this group is growing and how people are starting to find money. People every day they say, I find money in my pants pocket. I never knew it was there. That's the start of the journey. I found money on the street. One person actually came to us today and said she thought that she still owed, she actually did owe over 200,000 rand on her house. She phoned yesterday and she thought she's going to find out a best way to pay it off. They actually told her something happened in the system. It's completely paid off. Her house that she's suddenly a house owner. These are the kind of things. I'm not saying, all I can say to you is that the only thing that's different with these people, Aubrey, is that they are changing their wealth consciousness. And I'm inviting people to say, come and experience it for yourself. What have you got to lose? You know, but come in with an open mind, because if you come in with a mind that's closed, you are going to not move forward. But if you come in with a mind that's open and willing to believe that there's maybe a different way of looking at things, everything can change. And I'm so excited about this group because the proof is already there. If I can see what we've done in just 7 weeks, I don't know what we're going to do by the end of this year.
Angie, you're in Soweto. Hi.
Yes, hi, Obi. Hi, Sonia. I'm glad you both are feeling much better. Just a quick one, really. There was a time when I used to think you both were sniffing something. Because I think I said it on air.
Yeah.
And just a quick one, really. Just, you know, Obi, everything starts in the mind, the thinking. And I mean, we think in pictures, we don't think in words. That first thinking, that idea, when it comes, you know, it comes in such a beautiful picture. But then the thinking process, that was whatever, like maybe if one sees a little bit of maybe unsuccessfulness, and then we're thinking, oh no, it's not going to work. I think that's what messes up everything, you know, because people tend to, that's when things really like get decided, you know, that says, is it like going to be successful or not? But then if people can just think in a different way, and then positive, keep on thinking in those beautiful pictures, and that will attract all the things that you want. And now we're winning them intellectually, and then the believing part is bringing them into the spiritual realm. And then it gets to, once you get to do that, then that brings you to the physical world. We attract it slowly but surely. It gets
Angie, I want to let you go because we've run out of time, but some very interesting stuff coming out of this session. Stanley, how do people get in touch with you? How do they join this money manifesting group of yours? I might put in some leave, eh?
Yeah, so, So, Aubrey, I'm so happy to invite everybody's welcome, and I do it week after week. All you've got to do, you can either go to our website, changecreatorsa.com. At the bottom of the site, you'll find a place to leave a form. Please leave a message to say you want to join the group, because if there's no message, I don't reply. I'll let you know how, or you can email me directly, Stanley@changecreatorsa.com. So either changecreatorsa.com on the internet, or Stanley@changecreatorsa.com, or you can even find me on LinkedIn. Just look for Stanley Beckett, and then I'll give you the instructions on how you can join our group and be part of this manifesting process.
This has been a very interesting conversation.